have a Bible, please, if you would join with me. And let's turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter 5. Ephesians, chapter 5, please. Our theme for 2011 is Be Filled with the Spirit. By God's grace, this morning's message will be a practical message. It'll be part one of a two-part message on how to be filled with the Spirit. The Bible commands us to be filled with the Spirit. But how are you actually filled with the Spirit? Let's begin reading here in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 18. We'll read down to verse number 21. Please follow along as I read. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 18 to 21. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we ask now that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit. Quicken our minds, O God, we pray. Help us to be alert. Help us to be diligent in our attendance to your word. And I pray, O Spirit of God, that you would lead us into truth, you'd help us to understand what it means and how we can be filled with the Spirit, that the Lord Jesus might be glorified. I pray that you'd meet each one at that point of need this morning. In the name of Christ Jesus, we do ask, Amen. What does it mean to be filled with the Holy Spirit? How is the fullness of the Holy Spirit a practical reality in our lives? As it was in the life of the Lord Jesus as he continued his earthly ministry for some 3 years, in the life of John the Baptist, Simon Peter, Stephen, the first martyr recorded in the New Testament scriptures, and also the Apostle Paul, the greatest man that walked upon the face of the earth outside of the Lord Jesus himself, of course, and John the Baptist. It was evident in the lives of these men that they were filled with the Holy Spirit. They had the fullness of the Holy Spirit upon their lives. And one underlying mark of being filled with the Spirit was the clear evidence of God's power on each of these lives. As we stressed last week, He is the Holy Spirit of power. The promised Comforter by the Lord Jesus with His ascension back to heaven. And here in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, God commands us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It is not an option, it is a mandate from God Himself. Be filled with the Spirit. And verses 19, 20, and 21 gives us some foundational evidence of being filled with the Spirit. A person that is filled with the Holy Spirit of God will speak to themselves psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. A person that is filled with the Spirit has a spirit of gratitude. Note the wording there in verse 20, giving thanks always. Are you listening to me? Not sometimes. Not if you feel like it. Not if everything is just going perfectly fine in 2011. Giving thanks always. That's a spirit-filled life. A person that can do that. A person that has the melody within their heart of spiritual songs, psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, that person also is filled with spirit. But also verse 21 teaches us a person that is filled with the Spirit has a submissive attitude. A spirit of submission, one to another. That little phrase there, one to another, conveys the fact that all of us need to submit in some form to somebody. You might be the top cheese in your workplace, but you are not the top cheese in this world. There's a man that roams the roads in a blue uniform, and he has authority over you, has he not? Yes, he does. And a submissive spirit is prepared to submit and live under the authority given to that man in a blue uniform. So the Bible gives us some foundational principles that are evident in the person that is filled with the Spirit. In their heart, they will have spiritual songs. In their heart, they will be full of gratitude, thankfulness. And also within their heart, there is a spirit of submission, a willingness to come under authority and life. God commands us to be filled with the Spirit. Now this morning we are going to be wonderfully practical, as I said last week, and look at some biblical principles that lead to a Spirit-filled life. The Bible commands us to be filled with the Spirit. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. How are we filled with the Spirit? Pastor, this morning, give me some practical tools that I can tangibly hold in my possession that will enable me to live out a Spirit-filled life. Principle number one. On how to be filled with the Spirit. It's found in the Gospel of John chapter 16, please. The Gospel of John chapter 16, verses 7 to 14. The Gospel of John chapter 16, verses 7 to 14. The Bible reads, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth." It is expedient for you that I go away. Our Lord said, "It's beneficial that I depart. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. And note verse 14. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. If we are to be filled with the Holy Spirit, principle number one, we must know God, the Holy Spirit. We must know God, the Holy Spirit. Our Lord Jesus was introducing, educating, and initiating a relationship with God, the Holy Spirit, to the disciples. The normal standard of Christianity today is that he or she knows of the Holy Spirit, but does not know personally the Holy Spirit. You can know of an individual, but not personally know them. Am I right or not? I would say this will be evident for most of us, not all of us, I'm sure, but most of us, within the little community that we live in. We have neighbours, do we not? Let me ask you, how much do you know of your neighbours? For most of us, very, very little. You might know the name of one or two. You might greet another, but you don't know their name, but you know that they live on your street and they know that you live on their street. So you religiously, from time to time, wave as you or they pull into the driveway. And that's as far as it goes. We know all of our neighbours, but very few of us really have an intimate relationship with our neighbours, to the point that we would be willing to allow them to control our lives. It would be understandable that you and I would not allow a person to control our lives that we do not know intimately, and we do not know as to whether they have our best interests in mind. Are you getting my point? If we are to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God, we must know God, the Holy Spirit. If you really know somebody, then you not only know that you will know some facts about them, but also you will possess a relationship with that individual. For most Christians, God the Holy Spirit is a complete stranger. And it's no surprise that many, if not most, born-again Christians have no idea what it means to be filled or controlled by the Holy Spirit, because we do not know Him. He is like that neighbor that we wave to. But we don't even know their name. But then again, he might be like that neighbour that we know their name and we do greet them from time to time. And about the only time that we converse with them is when we are going away and we need somebody to take out the garbage and we need somebody to collect our mail. Can you relate to what I'm saying? That's how much most of us know the Holy Spirit of God. See, we get to know a person by making an effort. Let me tell you why you don't know everybody on your street, because you haven't bothered, and neither have I, to introduce myself to every person that lives on Burdekin Crescent. So we get to know people by making an effort. So likewise, if we want to know God the Holy Spirit, we need to make an effort, do we not?
Amen.
Why would you and I allow anybody to control our life that we do not know intimately?
Yes, true.
Yes. So without us even thinking about it, most of us are not living a Spirit-filled life because we really don't know God the Holy Spirit, and because we don't really know Him intimately, personally, why would we ask Him to completely control our lives? It's understandable, is it not? Strangers have very little impact upon our lives. And if you want your life to be impacted by God the Holy Spirit, then we must know Him. And the Lord Jesus was introducing God the Holy Spirit to the disciples and made reference to some of the works of the Holy Spirit and informed the disciples that the Comforter will come, He will lead you into truth, He will convict of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. He will ultimately glorify my name. And my friend, this morning, if we are to live a Spirit-filled life, we need to know God, the Holy Spirit. For most of us, we only know of Him. We know that He is God. We know He is a person. We know that He indwells us. We know that He is the power of God. But much more than that, we don't really know Him. And how do we know God the Holy Spirit? Well, by a diligent study of the Scriptures. The Holy Spirit inspired the Holy Scriptures. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. God the Holy Spirit moved upon men of old, and they recorded for us the very Word of God.
Amen.
So as we study the Scriptures, we will learn about the Holy Spirit. As we read books that are devoted to the work of the Spirit, and there are some wonderful books that Christians can read on the person and work of the Holy Spirit. And during the course of this year, yes, we will be commending some of these books to you. And during our Life Stage term number one, each of the main classes will be studying the person and work of the Holy Spirit. And I'd like to encourage you, if you are serious about living a Spirit-filled life in 2011 and be filled with the Spirit, then I encourage you to come hungry, wanting to consume, wanting to know God the Holy Spirit. We must know God the Holy Spirit. Step number one, if we are to be filled with the Spirit. Most of us just know of Him. You might know a little. You might know some of His names. But you don't really know Him. Lesson number two this morning. Are you still with me? Principle number two. I'm trying to be awfully practical. Pardon me, wonderfully practical. If you want to be filled with the Spirit, lesson number one, we must know God the Holy Spirit. Don't kid yourself that you know God the Holy Spirit. Because if you do, you'd have the power of God upon your life. And we'd all know it. Should I get an amen?
Amen.
All right.
Amen.
Are we all on the same page here? Good. Lesson number two. If you want to be filled with the Spirit, lesson number two, we must acknowledge His presence by depending upon Him. Galatians chapter 5, please. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 and 17. Galatians 5, 16 and 17 reads, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would." We must acknowledge His presence, the presence of the Holy Spirit, by depending upon Him. And that is the meaning of that phrase there in verse 16, walk in the Spirit. How do we acknowledge the presence of the Holy Spirit within our lives? By depending upon Him. Dependence automatically acknowledges the need or the presence of another. And verse 17 makes reference to the battle that prevails in the life of every Christian. The battle between the flesh and the Spirit. And this battle that prevails in the life of the Christian between the flesh and the Spirit gives us a reason for why we need to walk in the Spirit. Now note then verse 16, the usage of the word in. Walk in the Spirit. It does not read walk of the Spirit. Or walk through the Spirit. It reads walk in the Spirit. This is in reference to the fact that we need to live out our lives in complete reliance upon God the Holy Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. In step with the Spirit. In dependence, in reliance upon the Spirit. And a chief means by which we acknowledge the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives is to live out our lives in dependence upon Him. Think about it. Verse 16 is followed with the reality of verse 17 that the flesh lusteth against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. There is a battle taking place in the life of the Christian, a battle between the Holy Spirit of God that wants to control your life and your sinful nature that wants to destroy your life. And the Bible teaches us if you want to have victory over the flesh, then you need to walk in the Spirit. You must acknowledge the presence of the Holy Spirit of God and live in dependence upon Him. We need to rely upon the Holy Spirit of God in our lives if we are to defeat the manifestations of the flesh. And the Bible goes on to teach verses 19, 20 and 21. What are some manifestations of the flesh? Well, you can see for yourselves. Pretty ugly, is it not? Have a look. Don't just take my word, but have a look. How are we kept from uncleanness, how we kept from drunkenness, how we kept from murdering, how we kept from adultery, fornication, by walking in the Spirit. May I submit to you, if we are to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God, we must acknowledge His presence. Most of us ignore Him. And let me tell you how it's evident that we ignore God the Holy Spirit so often. It's because we live such self-sufficient lives. Be honest with me. Be honest with me this morning. And we say we want to be filled with the Spirit, and the Bible teaches us how to be filled with the Spirit, walk in the Spirit, acknowledge His presence, and live out your life in dependence upon Him. That's what the phrase means, to walk in the Spirit. A young child acknowledges the presence of an adult by seeking help and assistance. Most of the time, not all the time. Sometimes their sinful nature has dominion over them and they just choose to do their own thing. But I think you would agree, parent, that generally speaking, a child looks up to an adult for aid and assistance. And when a child looks up to a parent for assistance, that child is acknowledging the presence of that adult, are they not? And they are acknowledging the fact that that adult has the power to aid them in their moment of crisis. So presence is coupled with reliance. We live such self-sufficient lives. We've begun by the Spirit of salvation, but if the truth be known, my friend, we live independently of God the Holy Spirit. And as it reads there in Galatians chapter 3, in verse number 3, are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are now made perfect by the flesh? Has it occurred to you that it is natural for a child to depend upon his or her parents? It's very natural. And may I submit to you, my friend, it is spiritual for a child of God to live in dependence upon God the Holy Spirit. Need in our lives prompts aid. God allows us to go through difficulties and trials and testings so that we might acknowledge His presence and live out a life of dependence upon Almighty God. Walk in the Spirit. We tend to acknowledge those we need, do we not? But we tend to ignore those we think we don't need. You can say amen. You know it's true. For most of us, we'll have no time, make no effort with an individual that we feel has no value to us. But if we believe that so-and-so can aid us, help us in some way, then we will give them the courtesy to acknowledge their presence by saying, excuse me, could you help me? And brethren, this morning, if we want to live out a Spirit-filled life, the Bible teaches us that we must walk in the Spirit. As we acknowledge His presence, a mark of acknowledgement of one's presence is to live in dependence upon. That is the teaching of Galatians 5, 16 and following. To acknowledge one's presence is to rely upon that individual. And we find in the Scriptures countless examples of this principle. A favorite of mine is King Hezekiah. In his moment of crisis, when the nation of Israel was surrounded by a great Assyrian army. In fact, 185,000 of them plus. The city was surrounded. Hezekiah acknowledged the presence of God by praying. And said, God, you need to intervene. There's nothing we can do. We are captured here. They are surrounding us, and we are nothing in the light of this great, monstrous army. And God answered the prayers of this great man of God that practiced the principle of acknowledging the presence of God in his life and crying out in prayer in dependence upon God. God answered his prayer, and during the evening, God did a wonderful work. And as the sun arose in the early hours of that following morning, the Bible teaches us there was a sea of dead Assyrians around the city of Jerusalem. In fact, 185,000 of them. So it's understandable the authorities just quietly made their way home and decided to call it a day because God had intervened on the behalf of God's people. And my friend, I'd like to challenge you this morning. Let's stop living a self-sufficient life. And let's choose to live in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. That conveys the principle of one's presence. When a person acknowledges the presence of Almighty God, the person of the Holy Spirit, then they will in turn live in reliance upon God the Holy Spirit. In 2 Corinthians 3:5, the Bible reads, "Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God."
Amen.
My friend, we need to stop living self-sufficient lives, do we not?
Amen.
And we need to walk in the Spirit. What are you going through at the moment? May I encourage you to walk in the Spirit?
Amen.
To acknowledge the presence of God the Holy Spirit is to live in dependence upon Him. So, Pastor, are you saying that if I do not live out my life in dependence upon God the Holy Spirit, the power of God within me, in the person of the Holy Spirit, then I am ignoring His presence? Yes. Because that's what the Bible teaches. See, we in theory acknowledge the presence of the Holy Spirit because the Bible teaches that. And all of God's people said, that's good theology. When you received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you repented of your rotten, filthy, hell-bound sin, and you turned to Jesus Christ, and by faith you placed your complete trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior. God's Holy Spirit saved you. Regenerated you. And at that point, God the Holy Spirit took residence in your life. We understand that. But to live with the acknowledgement of God the Holy Spirit in our lives means to live in dependence upon Him. When we live self-sufficient lives, we trust in our own abilities, our own strength, then we are literally slapping God the Holy Spirit in the face and saying, I don't know you.
Right.
And that's how most of us live. Am I right or not? You know it's true. Listen, are you serious about being filled with the Spirit. I think we better stop there. I had 3 points, but I think we better just stop there. I think I've hit a stump. And over the next week or so, I want you to work on that stump and let's dig up that stump. I don't think we can go to point number 3 unless we get over point 1 and 2 in order. How are we to be filled with the Spirit? We must know God the Holy Spirit. Do you know God the Holy Spirit? And number 2, we must acknowledge His presence. How? By depending upon Him. Most of us think we're pretty good. Listen, by God's grace, we are what we are.
Amen. Amen.
Oh, but Pastor, I'm going to conquer the world 1,000 times in 2011. Well, God bless you. I hope you do. I'd like to as well. But I'm not going to do it in my own strength.
Amen.
By God's grace, you will arise out of bed tomorrow morning.
Amen.
Oh, but Pastor, I'm young and I'm fit and I've never been to hospital. Well, we'll take our turn eventually. We are what we are by the grace of God. And if you and I, we're serious about being filled with the Spirit, we need to acknowledge His presence by living in dependence upon Him.
Amen.
Let's be upstanding, please. Every head bowed.